Good morning. Just a little bit of information. Divine science, though recognized as a religion, is really a teaching. You will notice that in a program, you don't have a sermon, you have a lesson. We do not sermonize. We do not tell you what to do and what not to do. However, we will attempt to explain certain laws of life that allow us to have a better existence than whatever it is that we are experiencing at the moment. Having said that, the kingdom of heaven is not a place. It's an awareness, not unlike love. You have a personal awareness of what love is. The kingdom of heaven is like a sense of peace. You know that it's there. The kingdom of heaven is not a place that we go to after we die, especially if we're good. Neither is hell a place that we go to if we're not good. These are all states of consciousness. They are awareness of life. Therefore, I would like to remind you this morning that we have been given a great gift long before the world even was. Within each one of us this morning, there is a realm of consciousness that is so pure that it has never been touched by anything human, not even the highest of human thoughts. Jesus referred to this awareness of life as the kingdom of heaven. And in this kingdom, in this awareness, there is meat to eat, sustenance that the world knows not of. And there is a peace that is totally unknown to the ordinary human mind. As we were just reminded, this kingdom is not a place somewhere out in space, nor in some holy mountain, or in some magnificent cathedral. That kingdom is here and now. And it is within you, and it is within me. What this means is that the temple where the Spirit of God can be recognized is within each one of us. There is no need to go anyplace. There are no candles to be lit. There is no incense to be burned. Rather, it is in the stillness and in the quietness that from within each one of us we can feel a presence as if to say, be not afraid. I am with you always. These are not words that we hear. It is an awareness. It is a knowingness. And this morning we have an opportunity to abide in this holy and sacred presence. And so it is that at this time, let us turn to our statement of being that you will find on page 2 of your Sunday program. And after we share this statement, we will have a moment of silence for personal contemplation and meditation. Let us begin. God is all, both invisible and visible. One presence, one mind, one power is all. This one that is all is perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. Man is the individualized expression of God and is ever one with this perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance.
this time, I would like to ask the ushers to please come forward for the offertory. For the gift of the Spirit of life, and for the gift of the Spirit of love that moves us to share with one another of that which has come to us from the Spirit of life. And for this blessing and for this allowing us to give, O most gracious God, we give you thanks. Thank you. when you look up the word healing in the dictionary, you'll find this definition: to restore to an original state. So the question is, what is our original state? Who, what, where did we have our beginning? And most people will say, I am a human being. My name is Harry, Helen, Joe. That's who I am. And I am a man or a woman, a human being. That's how you can identify me. And I was born in this city. That's where I had my beginning. And of course, look out here in the world, we cannot disagree with any of these answers, because we do appear to have physical origins. And so it is that we trace our ancestry to physical and material entities of a certain shape, of a certain form. As a matter of fact, there are investigations going on all over the world in an attempt to find our origins in some cave deep beneath the surface. And yet, there are some of us who have a totally different approach concerning our origin. Because rather than looking in caves, we turn to ancient writings that have been compiled over the many years that we call scripture, the Bible. And it is through these written documents that we trace our origin to an infinite creative principle called God. And we discover that the firstborn of this principle was not a man, but pure spirit. And out of this spirit, all things that were made, and nothing was made that was not of this spirit. This spiritual creation, in the beginning, was considered pure, perfect, and complete. We are told that nothing could be added to it, nor anything taken from it. That it was changeless. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And around 2,000 years ago, an individual appeared on earth. And he said, call no man on earth your father. For you have but one father, one source. And that is God. Quote, therefore be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. As a matter of fact, when we begin a study of the Bible, we discover that in several places, we are reminded that man is not human, but divine. Literally a spiritual being living in a spiritual universe. Again, quote, born not of the flesh, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, two things happen. When we were exposed to this truth, it inspires some, but it confuses and disturbs others. We all know the story. I believe most of us are aware of the story of the prodigal son. That son was not a single individual that lived thousands of years ago. That son is you and me in the flesh this moment. That son made a decision to leave his father's house. He wasn't chased out. He made a conscious decision to leave. And whether we know it or not, we have spent lifetimes trying to find our way back, looking for a path that moves us from a physical sense or awareness of life to a spiritual sense or awareness of life. What we often say from this pulpit is a matter of going from Adam to Christ, or from that man whose breath is in his nostrils
to that man whose being is in Christ. Now, we are all on this path, whether we know it or not. We all are. There is something in all of us that knows that life is far more than whatever it is that we are experiencing at the moment. Otherwise, why are we all looking for promotions? To be advanced in our careers? Why are we all looking to win the lottery? Because we want more than what we are experiencing at the moment. That's why we look for that perfect mate, for financial security, for a better state of health than whatever it is we have at the moment. Because there is something in all of us that is aware of what we call wholeness and perfection and purity. But because all we know is the world in which we find ourselves, we look for the answers out here, for answers that can only be found within us, in that kingdom of heaven, which I just said is not a place, but an awareness of life that is far removed from this existence. For example, in this kingdom, there is a peace that cannot be understood with the ordinary human mind. And there is a sense of love, an experience of love that transcends even the deepest of human affections. But somewhere along the way, we all make wrong turns. We use a wrong word in the most inappropriate of times. We do the wrong things. Or we choose to act in a way that we know we should not act, but we still do it. And it is these wrongs, whether done intentionally, deliberately, or out of ignorance, it is these wrongs that cause us pain and suffering, shame, fear, regrets. And I think all of you know what I'm talking about. A good many years ago, many, many years ago, trust me, I was in the army. And for a period of time, I was stationed in Germany. But I did not live in the army post, but what was then called the economy, in the surrounding town where the army post was. Shortly after our arrival, within a day or two, I was taken to look at an apartment. It had a huge window facing the countryside. But the window was somewhat dirty. And it gave the entire apartment sort of a gloomy, dirty look. The owner noticed my reaction to the place. My German was not good and his English wasn't either. But in so many words, he said, "Wait, wait." Went to another room, grabbed the towel, wet it, wiped the window, got what appeared to be a squeegee, and all of a sudden, the room brightened up. It brought about a totally different atmosphere. At that time, it did not mean a thing to me. Not at all. But for whatever reason, I never forgot that little incident. And what made an impression on me was a rather simple act. The dirt was not in the window, but on it. The dirt was on the outside. Now, you and I have been endowed with the power to make all things new, clear, clean. But as we move about the world, we have a tendency to pick up all kinds of dirt. Fear, jealousy, greed. But these are all on the outside. The kingdom of heaven is within you. That's our beginning. And that kingdom is pure and perfect and complete, and it hasn't gone anywhere.
That's our beginning. And yet, after 2,000 years of hearing and reading about this kingdom,
we continue to live outside it by accepting all kinds of old beliefs and traditions and dogmas and religious superstitions that man is a lost and sinning man, an entity that is little more than a glorified animal with clothes.
And yet, I say to you this morning that it is very possible in this lifetime
for an individual to lift himself from these beliefs and traditions and attitudes and opinions and begin living the good life. And that good life is a matter of living from within out, not from the outer in. And the beginning of this good life, and this is so important, is that you and I do not live in the world. We live in mind. In other words, it is totally possible to live in that state of mind that is called the kingdom of heaven. Totally possible. And it is here and only here that an individual can feel complete, at peace, whole. And it is here that the individual begins to discover what love really is and what peace is really and what harmony really is. And it is in this consciousness and this awareness of life, what we call the kingdom of heaven, that healings take place. Healings do not take place out here in the world. Don't look for your body to change or to your bank account to grow. Healings do not take place in the world, but in mind. What we see out here in the world is the picturing of a state of consciousness. It's almost like saying, you need to have a tree before you can bear the fruit. As a matter of fact, there was a question in one of our classes concerning instantaneous healings. Is there such a thing as an instantaneous healing? Well, yes and no. Instantaneous healings take place in consciousness. But the result of that healing, of that activity in consciousness, takes a little longer. Let me give you an example. A seed already contains the fruit. A seed contains the fruit. But that seed has to be planted, and it has to be nurtured. And then you see a sprout coming up. And then there's the tree. And then there's the branches. And it is the branches that bear the fruit. But this entire process is already contained within that seed. We carry the seed of life with us wherever we go and whatever it is that we are doing. And prayer is the means through which we reap the harvest. Let me try to make this a little bit more clear. Prayer in divine science is the means through which an individual establishes his future expectations. When we talk about the law of cause and effect, plain simple metaphysics 101, the law of cause and effect, as within, that's the cause. So without, that's the effect. We say every Sunday, as in mind, so in manifestation. We are talking about a seed that already contains within itself the answer. The tree, the branch, and the fruit. The whole process of bringing forth from the invisible realm of life into visibility is in that seed. Everything. That seed is already here. Every idea, thought, belief, opinion, attitude, that we accept in mind can be translated and is translated into the physical world. Because the physical world in which we find ourselves is simply the result or the consequence of what we have chosen to behold in mind. Everything in the physical world, call it health or the lack of it, supply or relationships or the lack of them, anything that is contrary to good had its beginning in mind as well as everything that is good. Now, for those of us who choose to practice the teaching of divine science on a daily basis, and we're talking about you and me right now, we do not fight evil. There is no devil to get rid of or to run away from. We do not dwell on problems. It's a matter of looking at life and saying, what does all of this have to do with me? It is a matter of finding ourselves emotionally detached from anything and everything that is not good. Because inwardly, we are beginning to discover that everything out here in the world exists only as long as there is a mind to sustain it. What this means is that every change in the physical is preceded by a change in the mental. Divine science teaches that limitation of any kind, or diseases of any kind, or in harmony of any kind, has nothing to do with God. God is too pure to behold nonsense such as these things that I've just mentioned. Sin, disease, lack, limitation, abominations of any kind. As a matter of fact, God is the answer, not the source of these things. Remember the dirty window? God is the water and the rag and the brush and the squeegee that keeps everything clean. It is when we become God-centered instead of problem-centered that we demonstrate accordingly. One rather powerful metaphysician years ago always referred to disease as a lie. And there is no truth in a lie. A lie attempts to pass itself off as a substance when in fact it is nothing at all. It's a mirage. A mirage has no substance. It's an illusion. It is the belief in a lie that hurts. A disease will never kill you. It is the belief that it can that does. I believe we mentioned in the lesson 2 or 3 or 4 weeks ago, not that long ago, that the belief that a disease can kill is so many times so much more powerful than the belief in a God that heals. There is no power in a disease. You and I give it power. All power is within the individual. Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson, once pointed out that though we travel the world over looking for the beautiful, unless we carry it with us, we find it not. And in the very same way, we can travel the world over looking for health, looking for doctors and medications, and supply in companies and in winning the lottery. And we look for peace of mind and financial security. As Emerson said, we either carry it with us or we find it not. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple. Are we willing to put into practice what we hear and moves us within 20, 30 minutes on a Sunday? And then forget about it and go about what we've always done? Or do we, in fact, choose to put it into practice one day? Only you can answer that. It's not the food you eat that disagrees with you, but the belief that it can. Isn't it written, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In his environment, in his body, in his relationships. As a man thinketh in his heart, as a man emotionally feels about life, so is he. And we either believe this and put it into practice, or we don't. And that, my friends, explains why you and I are going through whatever circumstances you and I are going through right now. It is written, "Prove me now, saith the law." Jesus not only proved the power of the law, he went so far as to say, "What I do, you can do also. And even greater things than these can you do." Which is why Paul encourages us to get a measure of that mind at the very least that was also in the Christ Jesus. Let me remind you. Once again, there is a realm of life that is so pure, that is saying, "My thoughts and my ways are not your thoughts and your ways. My thoughts and my ways are far higher than any thoughts and ways that you have ever had." This realm of consciousness that we've been talking about this morning, this so-called kingdom of heaven, is a silence. It is an awareness. It is when an individual moves into this awareness, what the Bible calls the temple of God, the kingdom of heaven, the silence. It is within you. You brought it with you when you first appeared in this world. And it is when an individual decides to move into this realm, the changes begin to take place in his or her life without fear, without struggle, without effort. Like cutting butter with a hot knife. It's just a matter of reminding ourselves, God is here. The answer is here. With all of its love and all of its wisdom and all of its power. God is here. That's the meaning of the omnipresence of God. And at that very moment, I am in God and God is in me and there is none else. Not at that instant. And you feel this person saying, "I feel your invisible realms of life." But these are not words. Because there's nothing human in this realm of consciousness. It's an awareness. Literally, the realization of the Spirit of God as an actual presence within you. And it is in this realization that the sick are healed, that the poor are prospered, that the sinners are forgiven. This is that so-called word in Scripture that goes before us, making every crooked place straight. It's not an entity, it's not a physical form, it's of any kind. It's your awareness made flesh. My friends, we have yet to discover the power that indwells each one of us, that is capable of turning every and any situation, circumstance, or condition totally around. Consciousness
is the controlling factor of the quality of your life. No matter how good I may be to my neighbor, to my children, it doesn't matter how faithful I am in attending the church of my choice or to what degree I support the church of my choice. If I am fear-centered, if I am age-conscious, if I inwardly expect to fail, to never amount to anything, it will be added unto me according to my state of mind. As we keep reminding ourselves over and over again, no outside God has ever brought hurt or harm to any of us. God has never withheld a thing from any of us. His work is done, finished. And it was proclaimed good and very good. And you find that in the very first page in almost any Bible. God is not going to come back because he forgot to bless you. God is not coming back because, oh, he's not prospered. I forgot him. You and I, and so many people do not like to hear this, you and I are totally responsible for where we are this morning. People don't like to hear that. They'd like to have someone to blame. Many of us do not wish to take on the responsibility of where we are. My job, and I hate to call it that, my job as a divine science minister, but more importantly, my responsibility and my challenge as a divine science minister is to learn during this lifetime how to shut the door to the outside world and how to enter my closet while taking no thought, and in the stillness of that moment, realize that I am not alone, but in God, as God is in me. So this morning I'm saying to you, whatever is taking place in your body, or in your home, or in your relationships, that appears to be contrary to life, it is nothing more than a cry coming out from within each one of us to center ourselves in the healing presence. That's all. I've discovered over the years, and maybe this has happened to you, that when people first come into this teaching, they begin to move into a series of changes that is making their lives better. And they often comment as to how great the teaching is and why it has taken them so long to find something like this. But every now and then, for whatever reason, individuals refuse to let go of everything before entering the silence. They hang on to a hurt, to a disappointment, to some negative experience that they had years and years and years ago. And they continue to argue and to fight and condemn this individual or that individual inwardly, silently. You'd be surprised the battles that take place that nobody ever knows about. I like to say that very few of us ever know what takes place behind closed doors. And I'm talking about within us. And all the while, the solution, the answer is saying, leave all and follow me. But we don't do it. We keep hanging on to some facet of the world. And yet it is the pure in heart, as it's written in Scripture, that shall stand in the presence of God himself. And this so-called turning within, entering a closet and shutting the door, it's not an every now and then kind of thing. It's not every Sunday during our meditation that we do this. It's a daily affair. It's a minute-by-minute practice. There are many names by which this presence is known. The Father within, the Christ in you. And by the way, the word Christ simply means Savior. Some people have a lot of problems associating the name Christ as another name for God, because they associate the name Christ with the man Jesus. As a matter of fact, if you and I found ourselves in Galilee 2,000 years ago, and we went around asking where this Christ was, where is Christ? They would have no idea what in the world you were talking about.
Jesus' name at the time was Joshua ben Joseph. Joshua, son of Joseph. Jesus was the name that was given by the Greeks when they made a translation of the Bible. And the word Christ is simply a title. Jesus the Christ. The Christed Jesus. Now, what I have just shared with you in the past 5 seconds has nothing to do with your spiritual evolution. Just plain basic information. But what is important to know is that the Christ, the Spirit of God, was the firstborn and has existed long before Jesus ever came to this world. That Christ is a spiritual principle that gives man, that gives you, a full life. It is the Christ in you that restores the years of lack and limitation. It is the Christ that is saying, I will never leave you. I am with you always. I will heal. I will bless. I will restore. The Christ is here this morning, urging you so gently to come up a little higher, saying, come, ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So my question to you, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Why not begin right now? Will you join me for a closing meditation? And let us just be still. And allow that sacred presence that is always working on our behalf to do so. Turn to it. Give of yourself to it. With all of your heart and all of your mind and with all of your soul. Be at peace, thereby good shall come to thee. Just be still. Let us be still. Yes, God is here with all of his love and all of his power and with all of his glory. Say, be not afraid. I will never leave you. Nor forsake you. Just be still, my beloved, be still. And know that I am God. Our answered prayer, O most grateful God, I give you thanks. Amen. The Christ in the midst of you is blessing you now. It is shining its love upon you and is gracious unto you. It is lifting your consciousness and giving you peace.